Today we're building a clean old-school DNB Hoover Stab in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the smart way, with macros that let the sound perform across the whole track instead of just sitting there as one static preset. This is an advanced drum and bass workflow, so the goal is not just to make a loud Hoover. The goal is to make a rack that can act like a musical weapon in the drums area of your arrangement. It should be able to hit hard in a drop, hint at itself in an intro, answer the bass line in a call and response, and then pull back for a DJ-friendly outro. Same sound, different attitude. First, think about what a good Hoover Stab actually is in DNB. It's not just massive, it's controlled. It has attitude in the mids, but it doesn't wreck the low end. That balance is what makes it useful. If the sound is too wide, too smeared, or too reverb-heavy, it will fight your break and your bass. So we're going to build this with discipline from the start. On a MIDI track, drop in an instrument rack and load up Wavetable or analog. Wavetable is especially nice here because it gives you clean control over unison and motion, but either synth will work. Start with a saw-based source, or something harmonically rich and close to saw territory. Don't overcomplicate the oscillator section yet. You want a strong chord tone first. Set the unison to a modest amount, something like 2 to 4 voices, and keep the tune fairly light. You want thickness, not haze. In drum and bass, especially old-school flavored stuff, the stab should be aggressive but still rhythmically precise. If it becomes too smeared, it loses the punch that lets it sit with busy breaks. Now shape the amplitude envelope so it behaves like a percussive hit. Very short attack, short to medium decay, low sustain, and a release that's just long enough to avoid clicking. Think of this like programming a drum sound, not holding down a synth pad. A good starting point is basically instant attack, decay around the 120 to 300 millisecond range, and a release that feels tight, maybe 40 to 120 milliseconds. That envelope is doing a lot of the musical work for you. In DNB, a stab often functions like extra percussion. It should land, speak, and get out of the way. If it rings too long, it starts stepping on the snare and the break accents. Next, add an auto filter after the synth. Use a low-pass filter, probably 24 dB, and make the cutoff one of the main performance controls in the rack. This is where the sound starts becoming truly useful. Set the cutoff somewhere in a musical range, not fully open from the start, and add enough resonance to give it a little bite without turning it into an annoying whistle. Map that cutoff to a macro, and name it something like open or tone. This is the control that will let you turn the same sound into a filtered intro stab, a rising build element, or a fully open drop hit. In DNB, that kind of filter motion is gold, because it creates energy without needing extra notes. You can keep the rhythm the same and still make the arrangement feel like it's moving forward. After that, add saturation. A saturator is perfect here. Keep it controlled. You want a few dB of drive, not a destroyed signal. If needed, enable soft clip so the peaks stay safe. The point is to bring out the edge and help the Hoover read through dense drums, not to make it fuzzy and brittle. Map the saturator drive to a macro called grit. That way, you can push the sound forward in the drop or in a switch up, and then pull it back for cleaner sections. This also helps you keep the sound arrangement aware. A little grit goes a long way in a crowded DNB mix. Now let's handle width carefully, because this is one of the most important parts of getting an old-school Hoover to work in modern drum and bass. You want some stereo energy, but you also need center focus. The kick, snare, and sub need room to breathe, so keep the core sound fairly centered, and then create width in a controlled way. You can use utility, chorus ensemble, or a subtle stereo delay, depending on the vibe you want. A practical move is to keep the core dry and centered, then add a separate widened stage that you can blend in with a macro. Call that macro spread. In the drop, you might keep spread moderate so the hit stays solid. In an intro or a build, you can open it up more for drama. If you want to get more advanced, set up 2 chains inside the rack. One chain can be clean, tight, and more monofocused. The other can be wider and slightly more animated. Then blend between them with a macro. That gives you much more performance control than just turning up a width knob. It also means you can make the stab feel like it's evolving rather than just getting bigger. Now add ambience, but be surgical about it. A reverb is useful, but in DNB you do not want it washing over every hit all the time. That blur is the groove. Instead, use a small, controlled reverb and map the wet amount to a macro, maybe called throw. Keep the decay modest, the pre-delay short, and the low end filtered out so it doesn't cloud the mix. This is especially powerful at phrase endings. You can keep the stab dry and punchy through most of the phrase, then automate a little extra reverb on the final hit of an 8-bar or 16-bar section. That creates transition energy without sacrificing clarity. At this point, your rack should already feel playable, but now we make it truly advanced by mapping macro ranges properly. This is where a lot of racks fail. If you map a control across too huge a range, the result becomes chaotic instead of musical. So keep every macro focused. Open should open the filter over a useful range, not from subsonic to ultrasonic. Grit should add edge, not go from clean to total destruction. Spread should widen intelligently, not blow the whole image apart. A strong macro layout for this kind of rack might be open, grit, spread, punch, throw, tone, motion, and level. Punch can control envelope decay, letting you switch between a tighter stab and a slightly more rounded one. Tone can shape resonance or filter drive. Motion, if you use it, should be subtle, maybe a tiny bit of wave-eatable or filter movement just to keep repeated notes from feeling dead. And level is important for gain compensation, because when you open the filter or add drive, the volume can jump. You want the rack to feel consistent and playable. Now let's talk about MIDI, because the sound design is only half the story. For clean old-school DNB Hoover stab, write the notes like a drum programmer would. Use short, intentional hits. Put them on off beats, after the snare, or in the spaces where the break leaves room. Think in terms of groove, not keyboard harmony. A minor triad or suspended voicing works well for tension, but don't overpack the phrase. A simple two-bar pattern with a few well-placed hits often works better than a busy chord progression. In DNB, the rhythm and the movement of the sound matter more than harmonic complexity. The stab should answer the drum pattern, not compete with it. Try a phrase where the stab lands after the snare, then again just before the next snare, so it feels like a question and answer. That classic jungle push-pull is still one of the most effective ways to use the sound. If you want it more rigid and old-school, keep the pattern more repetitive and let the macro automation provide the variation across the phrase. Once the rack is feeling good, automate it like a performance instrument. This is the real payoff. In the intro, keep the filter more closed, the spread more restrained, and the grit lighter. As the build approaches, open the filter, increase resonance a little, and bring in some reverb throw on the last hit or two. When the drop lands, tighten the width a bit, pull back the ambience, and let the stab hit dry and focused so it punches harder. Then for a switch-up, you can widen it again, raise the distortion slightly, or lengthen the envelope just a touch. That makes the same source feel like a different moment in the arrangement without needing a new sound design session. That's exactly why macro control is so powerful in DNB. It saves time, keeps the palette cohesive, and lets one sound do multiple jobs. An advanced move here is to resample the stab once the rack is behaving the way you want. Print a few bars to audio, then work with the audio version too. That lets you slice it, retrigger it, and even layer it with break hits or ghost snares. A resampled stab often feels more like part of the drum kit, which is exactly what you want in this genre. You can also high-pass the audio if needed, trim any low-mid clutter, and use it as a more percussive accent. This is a classic move in drum and bass production. Turn a synth gesture into a rhythmic element that behaves like part of the break. A few common mistakes to watch for. Don't overdo the tune and width, because the sound will lose focus fast. Don't leave reverb on all the time. Don't let the upper mids get harsh and fizzy. And don't forget gain compensation when you map macros, because a rack that gets louder every time you open it is annoying to perform with and hard to mix. Also, don't forget that the stab lives in the drums area of your production. That means it has to work with the break, not just sound cool by itself. If the rhythmic placement is weak, the answer is not more saturation or more width. The answer is better note placement. If you want to push this even further, try building two characters inside the same rack. One chain can be your clean utility stab, and another can be your wider, dirtier, more resonant version. Then use one macro to blend between them. That gives you an instant transition from restrained intro mode to full statement drop mode. You can also make a ghost note version that is darker, shorter, more mono, and slightly more distorted. Use that for the little response hits between the main stabs. That keeps the groove alive without cluttering the arrangement. For homework, I'd strongly recommend building a two-bar phrase around the rack, then duplicating it and making the second copy darker, narrower, and more distorted. Resample both versions, compare them against your break loop, and see which one leaves more room for the kick and snare. In many cases, the version that sounds slightly less huge in solo will actually work better in the full mix. The bigger idea here is simple: design for contrast, not just size. A really strong Hoover stab in DNB feels oversized in attitude but compact in behavior. It should translate on small speakers, survive a busy break, and change character with automation instead of needing constant redesign. So the final takeaway is this. Build the source tone cleanly, shape it with filter, saturation, width, envelope, and reverb. Map everything with intention, and treat the MIDI like percussion. If you do that, you end up with a performance-ready old-school DNB Hoover stab that can behave like a hook, a fill, a transition, or a drop weapon. And that's the kind of sound that actually earns its place in a track. Now let's move into the rack and build it step by step.